John chapter 8. And we're going to continue looking at this thing of being true disciples. And I kind of gave a first part of this last week as we read through. And we're going to start in verse 30 today. We read verses 12 through 30 last week. And we're going to read verses 30 through 47 today. So yeah, before I get into the message, let's go ahead and stand, and if you will, out of love and respect for the Word of God, and also we'll read responsively, beginning together in verse 30 out loud, and then I'll read the odd verses by myself as we go through this passage of Scripture, beginning together in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. As we mentioned last week, there are some that believed on the words of Jesus Christ. And he said to them in verse 31, unto those which believed on him. You see, as we go through this passage of Scripture, we've got to understand the context of things. You know, a lot of times people get confused about the Bible because they don't really pay attention to what he's saying. And you understand that as we look at the Christian life, we're going to have times where we follow after God as we should, and we are the example that we should be. And then there are times where we don't. And we follow after the things of this world, the natural things, the natural man. We're going to look at Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8, and I hope you understand these things, that kind of living doesn't undo salvation. We're still saved. We're still born again. Because being born again is not of our own merit, if you will, good or bad. But rather, it's of the merit of Jesus Christ, the one that saved us. Now you see here, as we look through this, and I hope, I don't know if you've looked at this passage of Scripture before or studied this passage of Scripture before, but upon reading it, one might think that Jesus is saying to his people, you're not really saved. And for some of them, that may be the case. But we do understand, though, Because he does say, you know, you are of your father, the devil, right? And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. This is verse 41. And abode not in the truth. He says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, and ye believe me not. You understand? He says, ye are not of God, because you don't hear God's words. So, you understand there's a contrast there between that part and the part in verse 30 and 31 where he says that when he spake these words, many believed on him. It does arise the question, did they really believe? Because later on in this chapter, he tells them, hey, look, you're not hearing God's words. You're not accepting the words of God. So, are you really born again? So that does come up, doesn't it? That question. But we do know from the rest of Scripture that many of these Pharisees did either eventually or did believe on Jesus Christ and were saved. And then we also know from Scripture and the account of Scripture that many were not. So here's the thing that Jesus is telling them. When we trust Christ as our Savior, the key word is trust. Do you believe or not? Jesus says, if you do believe, you'll continue in my word. Why? Because you believed it. Why would you doubt the truth? Why would you say, well, yes, I believe him. I believe that he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the one that's forgiven us of our sins and purchased salvation for us. But no, I don't believe in what God says here. And I don't believe what God says here. You see, when Jesus is going through and he's going back and forth with these people, that he said, you're going to be free, that the truth shall make you free. He said, I'm the truth. My word is the truth. Ye shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples. You'll be just fine. Everything will be great. And they come back and say to him, well, we're Abraham's seed. We have a wisdom and a knowledge, Lord, that surpasses what you're saying. Oh, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? You see, instead of asking that question, they should have said, okay, Lord, what is it that you actually mean by this? Instead, they put up a wall of defense and said, well, but we are just. We're God's people. We're the chosen people of God. We've never been in bondage to anybody. And Abraham's our father. And he says, no, you're the servants of sin. He said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And then Jesus explains, he says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. So what he's trying to get across to them is this is not about Abraham. This goes way past Abraham. This has to do with God and the devil. This has to do with God and sin. God and the flesh. The spiritual man and the natural man. You see, they were not understanding the depth of it because their knowledge stopped at religion. We're Pharisees. I mean, don't forget who these people were. Don't forget what Saul of Tarsus said about himself and about his training and about why they persecuted the church and why they persecuted those of that way. That's another good message title. I hope that you're of that way. Amen. And so we've got to understand that their pride, their arrogancy was in their justification according to works.
not according to faith. They were never under bondage to any man. They were Abraham's seed. Do you see the Jewish pride there? The pride that they were the God's chosen people. And listen, this is what carried many of them to hell. Because they refused and rejected the Messiah. We read back in John chapter 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And as Jesus kind of chipping away at the pride and the arrogancy of these people. And listen, as he spake these words, verse 30 is true. It says that many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Did you know that upon salvation, our flesh and our old things are not just, they don't just disappear. So Jesus is continuing, he's trying to chip away at these new believers, and many of them did believe. But you understand, some of them perhaps did not. Maybe they were convinced of his words, but they didn't truly trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Do you understand that we don't get to judge that God judges that? And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but I hope you understand what's going on here. There's a conflict. There's a conflict in mankind between the natural man and the spiritual man. There's a conflict. You understand that there are people out there that believe that Jesus is God's son, but they're not born again. How can that be? You say, well, there's verses in Scripture like John 3:16 that says, whosoever, right? Well, yeah, it's whosoever. Okay. But what does it mean to actually believe on Jesus Christ? You see, these people were speaking with the Son, right? When he said the truth shall make you free, if they really believed on him, you know what they would have said? Great, can you tell me how that works? But instead, what did they do? What does that tell you? Do they really believe on him? Or not? You see, we have a problem today in our society. We have a bunch of Christians that don't want to, we have a bunch of people, let me rephrase that. We have a bunch of people that don't want to die and go to hell. But they also don't want to give their life to Jesus Christ. They want salvation. They don't want sanctification. How does that work? You know, I like to eat cake, but I don't always like all the frosting. It's not the same thing. What is it that we have to do in to figure this out? We're bought with a price. Isn't that what Paul said? You are not your own. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What does he say next? Old things are passed away. As Paul speaks in Romans about the natural man and the spiritual man, he says, hey, these things are dead. He says, how can we live any longer therein? And I think that's kind of what Jesus is getting at here. He says, hey, if you're of your father the devil, it's because you're not converted. You're not saved. You're not believing what God has said. He says in verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You say, Pastor, are you going to start preaching and teaching about us not living the Christian life, we're really not born again? No. That's not at all what I'm saying. But the Bible does say, by their fruit ye shall know them. I just want us to understand what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Did you believe on him? Did you believe his words? Did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? If the answer is yes, then I'm just going to ask you today, why not the rest of it? Why wouldn't you believe Jesus when he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? These people, why did they have a problem with this? Why did they fight back against the Lord and say, well, how dare, Abraham, father, you understand? What are we? Are we born again? Are we the sons of God? Are we free indeed? He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. So Jesus is kind of unraveling all this here, and I hope you understand what he's talking about. We see that the divine sonship of Jesus Christ is being challenged by these Jews. We see the spiritual blindness of the Jews, because all they can see is Abraham. They can't see past that. We know that Jesus Christ was willing to liberate them from this passage of Scripture. We know salvation is the beginning of true discipleship. We must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that in John chapter 3. We know the need of salvation, and life begins with salvation in Jesus Christ. True discipleship, what Jesus speaks of in verse 31, is a pattern that God wants us to walk in life, walking in the truth, remaining in the Word of God, constantly growing and learning, and desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And above all, in obedience to that truth. What's obedience better than? It's better than sacrifice. How does God know that we're really serious about this thing of salvation and eternal life? If we're going to do what? Obey. If you love me, keep my commandments. True discipleship is freedom from slavery. True discipleship is following God when nobody else will. You understand, when Jesus Christ went through his earthly ministry, there were many that left because these things that Jesus was speaking were too hard, were too difficult. Now, does that mean that they weren't born again? No, it doesn't mean that they weren't born again. Now, is it an indicator that they might not have been born again? Possibly. But again, I'm just here to say today, we're not talking about that. That's not us for us to judge. God knows who are his and who aren't. But Jesus accused them and every natural man of being a slave to sin. If we are servants and slaves to sin, who are we putting ourselves under? Our father, the devil. But what are we? We're supposed to be a new creature. We're supposed to have a new father. Who is that? God. We're supposed to hear him and not hear another. Think about this. If there are two men, let's see, let me go over here. There are two men standing here, right? And let's say one of them is Brother Camp. Brother Camp's a good man. I'm glad you're back. I can pick on you again. I missed you while you were on vacation. let's say Brother Camp is here, and then I'm here. Now, two of these boys on the front pew belong to me, theoretically speaking. They're God's, but I get to watch over them. Okay? Should my two boys listen to Brother Camp's voice? I'm going to call you the devil, okay, Brother Camp? Is that okay? or should they listen to the Father? Huh? Yeah. Whose voice Are you going to listen to another voice, or are you going to listen to the voice of your father? You see, it was a big step for these Pharisees to even believe the words that Jesus said. And in verse 30, it tells us that as he spake these words, many believed on him. But then as he spoke some hard things, were they going to be willing to listen to the voice and the words of God? Or were they going to continue to listen to the other voice that was speaking? He says, hey, as you do these things, as you see these things, are you going to do these things that are of God and the things that I've seen my father? Or are you going to do the things that you've seen with your father? He says, which choice are you going to make? Only Jesus Christ can change us from slaves to sons. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer bound by those things. Over in Romans chapter 8, I told you we'd get over there. Paul writes and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. These people that are in Christ Jesus, he describes them. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why did he feel the need to say that twice? You think that's important? I think it's important. We hold to and believe that salvation is of God, and it's by faith through his grace. Over in Ephesians, you know the verse, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 2 rather. Look at verses 1 through 10, or listen to them if you'd like to. And you hath he quickened. You know I love that word. Vivified. Made alive again, right? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, notice the past tense. In other words, this is no longer to be. So in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 8, these people took a big leap and believed on Jesus Christ. Why did they stop, or why did they halt at this issue of being Abraham's seed, or being a slave, or being of the father of the devil, or being condemned or bound by sin? When they were believing his words, shouldn't they believe all of his words? I think so. He says, in times past. He says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So what is this describing? Ye are of your father, the devil. He says that among whom we also all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you notice all the past tense there, right? Had, were, etc. And then he says this, and I think this is one of the greatest transitions in Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised up us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace
in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as we look at this passage of scripture in light of what Jesus was saying to these people, we need to understand that this is what he said to them. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed. But you're not even doing what Abraham did. You know what Abraham did? Abraham believed God. If you go back and look at Abraham's life, Abraham believed God and he was justified by faith. Just go through and read what it says in Hebrews about Abraham. Go back in the Old Testament and see what Abraham did. When Abraham was approached by God and he believed God and God gave him a son. And as you read of the account when God told Abraham, hey, look, I want you to take your son and I want you to go sacrifice him. Wow. Big deal. In that passage of scripture, we do not see one time where Abraham doubted what God was going to do. There's no indication of that at all. You know what he did? He told his son, let's go. You know what he did? He got all the preparations and all the provisions ready along with him. The wood, the knife, everything he needed. He took his servants and as they got closer to the mountain, he said, okay, you guys stay here. My son and I, we're going to go sacrifice. And listen, even his son said, hey, I see the wood. I see everything we need here. Where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? God will provide. So we have every indication that Abraham believed God fully, folks. He knew exactly what he was doing. Because he believed God. Guess what it was counted to him for? Righteousness. What were the Pharisees trusting on? Not God. Somewhere down the line in history, they stopped trusting God and started trusting their own righteousness. We know that Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. The Pharisees were counting on their own righteousness to get into heaven. Their own power. You know why? Because they had switched from being the children of Abraham to being the children of the devil. They were slaves to their sin. And God, in the person of Christ Jesus, was pointing that out to them, and they didn't like it. You see what's happening here? Folks, we've got to understand that when we believe on Jesus Christ, that it is 100%. You must trust Jesus Christ and his words. You know that we believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. It's not Jesus and. It's just Jesus. It's not, oh, I believe in Jesus and my good works. I believe in Jesus and church membership. I believe in Jesus and this or and that. The majority of religion today is Jesus and for salvation. And it's not that way. Jesus himself tells them, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He goes on to expose them and expose their feelings and their thoughts. He said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? He believed God. What did he just tell these people?
You either need to believe me or you don't believe me. Because I'm speaking God's words. He says later on, he says, that why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? The devil doesn't want people to hear the word of God. He stops up their ears. He darkens their minds and their hearts, so they can't see the light of the truth. We know that's one of the wiles of the devil. God wants us to believe him completely. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, what shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which had he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So what is it? James says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In verse 48, these Jews, back in our text, they answered him and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And why would these people say that? It says in verse 30 that as he spake these words, many believed on him. Jesus answered, he said, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. This is a very interesting passage of scripture, isn't it? But I think it highlights that we need to make sure we're born again. And if we are indeed born again, we need to check up on our faith. We need to check up on our belief of God. We've got to get past the point where we're trusting human reasoning and what makes sense and trust what God says. And what God says is truth. As I look at our world today, and I can even look here amongst these you people that are here today, these folks that are at our church this morning. Look around at some great people. But how sold out are we to this thing of being a true disciple for Jesus Christ? Now, you understand that this was happening all in the course of several minutes. In a particular conversation. Do you think that you expect somebody to change their whole religious philosophy in one moment of time? Well, it takes time. But I guess I'm asking the same question that Jesus is asking. Are you hearing the truth of God? Or are you listening to another voice? If He is your Father, you know what a true disciple does? Listens to the Father. You know what? My boys are sometimes difficult to deal with. I have three sons, 17, 16, and 15. Now, if any of you have ever dealt with a 17, 16, and 15-year-old boy, you know what I'm about to say. They have their own ideas. They're becoming their own men, right? Their own. And guess what? Dad is a dummy. Come on now, I see all you fathers smiling. You know what they find out later in life? Just same as you and I found out later in life? That Dad was a pretty smart guy. We just didn't see it, did we? Why would we be any different as Christians in our lives? But you know what I'm begging you today to do? Realize how smart your father is. Listen to his voice. Don't get stuck on the prejudices and the rationale of mankind. We are no longer in that. We're dead to it. You don't have to listen to that other voice. You just need to listen to the voice of your father, and that's what a true disciple does. God is our Father if we are born again. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And because we are the children of God, the old things are passed away, and these things are become new. We have a new life in Jesus Christ, and a true disciple in Christ will live that way, because we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we have accepted that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how we should live. That's why I'm very okay being the pastor of a local, independent, Bible-believing, hellfire and damnation preaching, independent Baptist church. Because I bought into this thing. I know that I'm born again. I know that I've received Christ as my Savior. And I know it's of no merit of my own. And I'm just going to hear the truth. And I'm just going to hear what God has to say. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the flesh has to say. I want to do what the Father says. And that's the kind of people we need today. That are going to take a stand. And say, look, you know what? You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm going to believe this. You can follow whatever father you want to follow, but I'm following the Father. That is a true disciple. Do you know what? I have found things in the scriptures that are hard to hear. And guess what? Frankly, my flesh doesn't like to hear a lot of it. Okay, all of it. But I've got to open my ears to it anyways. You know, there are some things in here. I've been in the ministry 18 years, but I'm only 45 years old. Not 46 yet. The best month of the year is not here yet. I'm 45 years old. Do you think I know everything about the Word of God? You say, yes, Pastor, you're the pastor. Of course you do. No, church member, I don't. And if that was the basis of my hiring, then you better fire me. No, I don't know. Are there some things that I can't explain? You better believe there's some things I can't explain. But you guess what I've decided a long time ago? That doesn't matter to me. Because God is right and I'm wrong. The Word of God is right and I'm wrong. And that's what it takes to be a true disciple of Christ. As we look at what Jesus said here to these people, we see more and more as they answer him. I'm of the opinion that many of these people maybe were not saved because of what they said and how they believed. Now, whether or not that's true, that's not for me to decide. You understand that. But I look around at Christians today, and especially on the front of these recovering Baptists out there. You know what it's really all about? Hearing the truth. Listening to God's words. If you listen carefully to what they say, it has nothing to do with spiritual things. It has everything to do with carnal things. The flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the Bible says that those things are sin. Those things are of the devil. And that's not the way we're supposed to live. Don't forget what he said in Romans chapter 8. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And a true disciple of Jesus Christ is going to do just that. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Over and over again in these verses, in the text that we read today, we see these Pharisees walking in the flesh, not the Spirit. Talking about their not being under bondage to anyone, and talking about them that Abraham is their father, and talking to them, to Jesus about not being born of fornication, but having the Father, even God, and then talking to them saying that you have a devil. And then they talk to him and say that now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? I'll answer that for them. Yes, he is. Because he's Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. They say, are you greater than the prophets that are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? He's God. That's who he is. We understand at the end of this, they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, as we look at what it means to be a true disciple of Christ, it's quite simple. We just need to believe God, like Abraham believed God. We just need to continue in his word, and we'll know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. If you're born again today, the Bible says you have the Holy Spirit of God, which shall guide you into all truth. You know what? Believe it. Follow it. Walk in it. Live it. As a true disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what we can do. You say, how can I? Well, just be dead to the old man. Be dead to the natural man. Be dead to the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. As Ephesians tells us, we should walk in good works. Philippians 2 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up on the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. That's the kind of life to live, folks, as a true disciple of Jesus Christ.